now as we move into chapter 17, the last chapter before we go into the actual passion narrative, we discover something that we should already know. Jesus is the example. He is the example in all things. And so He is the example in this. He came because the Father had given Him a job to do.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
My dad, many of you knew Dad, and many of you don't. In the last years of his life, as his strength failed and his activities were restricted, he was unable to continue to make trips up here, so some of you never got to meet him. I wish that you all could have. Of course, I'm biased, but I think he was a man very well worth knowing. But I will tell you this, if you know me, then there are many things you know about him. It's just the way that it is. I feel that I inherited a good portion of my father's sense of humor. Just a couple of examples. On the very first time that we took a canoe trip on the White River in Indiana, something that turned into a passion with me so much that I had to do like all 300 miles of the river. But on the very first time, about halfway through the trip, we approached a place where the overhead high-tension power lines swooped what looked to me a little bit closer to the water than I would have liked. And as we approached them, you could hear it, like that. And as we got closer, you could hear occasional crackles and snaps. And as we got under them, the humming got real loud. And all the hair on the back of my neck stood out like that. And we passed under it, and it faded until we got downstream, and it faded away. And I looked back at Dad, and I said, "Why do those things hum like that?" And he said, "Maybe they don't know the words." Another, Mom and Dad came up frequently to Indianapolis when it was just 35 miles or so when we ministered there. And they would come up an evening for supper. And one winter evening, it was already dark. And I don't remember what the call was, but I had a call and had to run to the church for something. It was a block and a half, so I walked from the house to the church. Mom and Dad there for dinner. Dad walked with me. We walked a block and a half to the church. I did whatever it was. I don't remember. And we were leaving the church to come home, and this lady that I had met a couple of times, because she lived on the same street as the church building, and I had called on she and her family, came running out of their yard in a bathrobe, steam coming up off her wet hair in these big fluffy house slippers on her feet, and a big snarling Rottweiler dog on a leash growling and straining to get loose. And she ran toward us yelling, "Hey, hey, hey, what are you guys doing out here?" "Going home?" To make a long story short, there had been a peeping Tom, and she had been getting out of the shower and saw this whoever it was peeping in her window. And instead of calling the police, she threw on her bathrobe and slippers and grabbed the dog and ran out to try to find the guy. I don't know where the guy was. It wasn't us. We were standing there, and she didn't recognize me. It was dark, and I took my hat off and said, "Look, I'm the preacher at the church here, and I don't know who was peeking in your window, but it wasn't me." She said, "You see anybody else on the street?" And I said, no, I didn't see anybody else on the street." And she took off down the street looking anyway. And Dad, who had been silent the whole time, put his hand to his lips, and he mock yelled. He acted like he was yelling, but he said it so that only I could hear it and she could not, thank goodness. He said, "If you would do some sit-ups, that roll around your belly might get smaller." And fortunately, she didn't hear it. If you know my love for birds, you know my father's love for birds. If you know my enthusiasm for trees, less known to many of you, you would know my father's enthusiasm for trees. You can ask Michael, if I discover a tree and I don't know what kind of tree it is, what do I have to do, Michael? I have to find out, figure out if I can. If you know my tendency to soak up general knowledge and just store it in my head, then you know my father's tendency to soak up general knowledge and store it in his head. In so many ways, when you know the Son, you know important things about the Father. And then there's another dynamic, and I figured it out slowly over the years of my youth. When I did well in our little community, Dad's reputation got a little extra shine on it. And when I did less well in our little community, Dad's reputation took a little bit of a hit. I will always remember, always, and it was just such a simple thing, but a group of us from church had gone to help clean up the yard of an elderly man who could not get out and do the work anymore, and it had grown up some, and there was kind of a mess around, and we went and were cleaning up, and I was 14, 15 years old. I was dragging some fallen branches and limbs from a maple tree out of the tall grass so they could mow it, and I would grab that thing and tug and pull and drag one out and go back to and pile them up at the side of the road. And another officer in our church who was there watched me for a little bit, and he went over to Dad, and I think I was not supposed to hear, but I did hear. He put his hand on Dad's shoulder and he said, "You done all right by that boy." And I just thought I would bust. And I understood the relationship between my reputation and Dad's, and came to understand it more as the years went by. Sermon has actually just about been preached at this point, but I'll go back to Scripture now. In the 15th and 16th chapters of the Gospel according to John, we have discovered the important truths we've been talking about, mainly that we have a job to do, and that provision has been made for us to do that job so that we will have everything we need, and parameters have been set so we understand what the job is that we have to do, and we're going to put that yoke on, and we need to go out and do the job. These things have all been said in the last weeks. And now as we move into chapter 17, the last chapter before we go into the actual passion narrative, we discover something that we should already know. Jesus is the example. He is the example in all things. And so he is the example in this. He came because the Father had given him a job to do. And as Fritz stressed in his devotion, Jesus clearly had some reservations about doing the job. If it is possible, if it's possible in any other way, let this cup pass from me. He had some antipathy about doing this job, but he did the job. And in so doing, he does two things. One, he reveals God to a world that he says did not know him. When you see Jesus on the cross, the heart of God is laid bare. How He loved us so much that He would take on human flesh and live under what for Him would have been a very restrictive set of circumstances, and then suffer and die horribly to pay the price for our sins. In this, the heart of the Father is laid bare in the obedience of the Son. And in addition to revealing God, He glorifies God. That love is so beautiful. And to glorify means to make beautiful in the eyes of those who see. And that love is so beautiful, so powerful, so all-encompassing that those who see the work that Jesus did in obedience to God the Father, God is glorified in their eyes, as well as revealed. I know that there are those who reject God and miss the entire point of the cross. And I have read them and listened to them as they criticize the Christian religion and call us a barbaric blood cult celebrating an act of brutality and shame and misery. And I say to myself, well, yes, it was brutal and miserable and shameful. But that was the whole point. That God would undergo even that, out of His great love for me. The cross in and of itself is not beautiful. It is the heart of God laid bare on it that is beautiful. I will add only that if you go and read the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I won't go into all that now, but you find out that God always predicted that there would be those who did not understand the cross. Those who trusted in their own wisdom more than His and couldn't seem to catch the point. But most of us, when we see Jesus, we understand about God. He reveals Him and He glorifies Him. And if you read the rest of the 17th chapter of John, it leads to another point. Jesus was the example. He was given a job to do. He did it. It had this effect. God is revealed and glorified. Now, it is our turn. We are given a job to do. And I know that it's this way in your heart because it's this way in my heart. There are days I'd just as leave not do it. There are days when it is agonizingly hard. There are more days when it is at least inconvenient. There are days like, as Fritz talked about this morning, it just makes me nervous to think about addressing the situation that has to be confronted for me to do the job that God has given me. But if we will do it, let me tell you what will happen. Jesus Christ will be revealed to a world that does not know Him. And He will be glorified in their eyes. And when they see Him, they will see beyond Him to the Father. Do you understand? When we do our job, when we give aid to the poor and the suffering, when we act as responsible stewards of the creation that God has given us care over, when we behave righteously, when we, as His people, have unity, and in verses to come, Jesus specifically prays to God to give us unity. Oh God, please give us unity. When we live in love, when we walk by the Holy Spirit, the world sees and understands the glory of Jesus Christ, and through Him, the glory of God. And then Jesus makes this point, when this process works, when it works, in this finally understanding God, in coming to see that He is not someone to be fled from, but someone to run to, in finally getting it, we are the prodigal sons and daughters, but He loves us so much, He will run down the road to meet us if we take a step in His direction. And He will take us in His arms. In finally understanding, as Jonathan sang this morning, He has a plan for us, not to harm us, but to prosper us. When we finally see the heart of God and are able to move toward Him rather than away, in this, Jesus says, we find eternal life. Because it can only be had in the company of God, our Father. How many of you would like the world to have a shot at understanding God and gaining eternal life? Let me tell you what is required. We must do our job. The job God gave us. If you need some reminders, read chapter 15 and 16 again, coming up to this. And when we do, the loving heart and the glory of God will be made manifest to the world.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.